morning again to seek the face of the Lord. And it's always a joy when the Lord sends a word of comfort to his people. You know, it's at times preachers go through some things, especially when God is giving you a word of correction for the people. Because as much as, yes, it is the Father, it is the Son whom the Father loves that he corrects. Correction is not always a naturally easy thing to bear. But I thank God that this morning is causing me to bring forth a word of encouragement. I'd been seeking the face of the Lord when John told me last Sunday that I'll be preaching today. And all through the course of the week, it was a very busy week for me. And it was, Lord, what am I going to say? And then I slept on Friday and I woke up in the morning and God gave me a verse of scripture in Isaiah chapter 41. And he said, in a sentence, he said, I am the helper of my people. God is our helper. And I first, of course, I first took it to myself because, you know, you need help. The Bible says, the letter kills, but the spirit is the one that gives life. To stand before a people, even if you have the power of oratory, is not what is needed on Sunday. You need the word of God. And it's always interesting when you can bring the Rhema word of God, not just the word, because you can preach from anywhere in the scriptures. But when you know that, because God knows where we all are, including myself, and so he knows what word we need at that point in time, and that word is what profits a man so much. And when we look at all around us, it's not difficult to understand why we need help. If we look at your life this morning, when you woke up, not every one of us felt like coming to church this morning. Not because we didn't want to come. But maybe some people have some creaky bones. You know, some people have some, you know, tired. Some people are acknowledging that, you know. We all have various things. Maybe you had a pile of things to do and you felt, how will I go through this day without, you know, and still have time to go to church? But the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 41, I read from verse 10. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. And those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you shall be as nothing and as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord, your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Shall we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. In these brief moments that we have, Lord, we just trust on your spirit to speak to us. You know where we all are, because the Bible says, you, God, with whom we have to do, all things are laid bare before you. And so, Father, we just ask that, Lord, you will reveal of your grace unto us in the name of Jesus. And that, Lord, you will grant us an assurance in our hearts that you are our helper. We thank you, faithful Lord, for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. It doesn't take us to look far to find disaster all around. I mean, the Middle East is there. It's always a brewing pot. It never seemed to go down. All the allies of Iran and all the allies of Israel, you know, all taking sides here and there. And when we come home, I mean, even this week that we are, well, depending on how you count weeks, I think Sunday is counted as the first week of the first day of the week. Some people are scared of what will be heard on Wednesday when this coalition government would highlight some things they're going to do. And people's hearts are shaking for fear of what will come upon the world. You look at yourself, you look at your pay packet and the outgoings, and it seems as if the gap continues to widen, you know. And you wonder, how am I going to cope in all this? God says, I am your helper. Why do we need help? We need help because we don't control all the factors that affect our lives. With all good intentions, you might have a plan for tomorrow based on the fact that it's not going to rain. And God help you if it rains, the whole day is ruined because you did not count on that factor. How much do we need help? We sleep, we don't know what happened to us while we sleep. And we're only trusting God that we will be able to wake up the next morning. And when we wake up, it's a matter of trusting God to go through the day. Because you look at all that you have to do and you wonder, how am I going to be able to cope? But God says, I'm your helper. Let's look at some testimonies of some people who God has helped and what they have to say about God. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we will read the word of God in Psalm 10 verse 14. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. My Bible is so very sticky because it's a new one. You must have noticed. So if it takes me ages, just excuse me. Psalm 10 verse 14 says, But you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief, to repay it by your hand. The helpless commit himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. God is the helper of the fatherless. In Psalm 46, verse 1, and that is very popular to a lot of us. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. You see, the Bible is saying God is a refuge and a strength, and a present help in trouble. Not when we are not in trouble. He's a very present help in trouble. The three Hebrew children can testify to that, because they found God a very present help in their trouble. When we remember the fiery furnace. The furnace that was, the heat was so much that the people who generated the heat were consumed by the heat. They couldn't go back to tell the king that we have fired up the furnace seven times better, because their lives proved that they had done the work. They were consumed by it. And these three Hebrew children, they had made their declaration before the king, we will not bow to this, your graven image. Our God will deliver us. But peradventure he forgets to deliver us, which is not likely. We know that we're doing the right thing. We won't bow. And then they discover that God is a very present help in trouble. It didn't prevent them from being cast into the fire. I don't know what that registers to you, that God does not prevent certain things coming our way. And we, in our human wisdom, we think, why should God allow me to go through this? His intentions are always good towards us. That's what Jeremiah tells us, 29 verse 11. He said, God's thoughts towards us, they are of good and not of evil, to give us a hope and an expectation. Can you imagine how would the nation have known the, how would the king have known the greatness of God if those three children were not cast into the fire? How will he have just taken their word that their God is powerful? But God was in the fire waiting for them. It was the air conditioner in the furnace waiting for them. So that when they were cast there, it wasn't they that were saying, can't you see us that we are not burning? The king, the Bible says the king opened his eyes and said, how many people did we cast into this fire? Is it not three people? But I can see four people and one like the Son of God. It was a confession that came from his mouth, the king. What greater glory can God get than that? When an unbeliever declares that this is the handiwork of God, this is God himself. And then he made a decree that the whole nation, how would they have gotten that? Everything would have ended up in the chamber of the king. If God has prevented them from coming, if God had touched the heart of the king that he didn't cast them into the fire, how would the king make that decree? That the whole nation, that there is no other God than the God of these three tribal children. But you see, that's with hindsight we can understand why God allowed them to go through it. What are you going through at the moment? And are you saying, God, but I've been praying to you about this. You know, there are some issues about prayers and unanswered prayers. And personally, my take on that is that at times, it is not unanswered prayers. It is unfinished prayers. We start praying, and because we don't understand the timings and the seasons of God, we stop short before our breakthrough comes. And we say, well, that prayer is unanswered. A no also can be an answer to a prayer. So God always answers prayers that are set according to his will. He will always come through for us. We can bet ourselves on that. Because God says he's not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of a man that he should repent of his word. He said, ask me. Whatever you ask according to my will, I will do. That's what he said. And he will do it. In the first instance, we didn't impress ourselves on God for God to give us that promise. He said it because he meant it. And when God says it, a thing, and we do according to what he says, we'll always get the answers, that the result that he has promised us. It's just that our own perception of things differ. And it's because we're humans. We're limited. He's the unlimited one. We are the limited one. And so we try to fathom, you know, we sang a song, we said, glorious in majesty, the greatest of all miseries. We only thought the hem of the deep. And we want to understand God, want to explain God by everything. And yet, we understand that he's the greatest of all miseries, beyond the horizons of our dream. That's the God who says, I am your help. The one who is not only the beginning, is also the end. The one who knows us all through and through. The one who said, I will not allow any temptation that is beyond what you can bear to come to you. But in every way, I will provide a way of escape. David's testimony in Psalm 54 was the fact that God is a help unto him. Psalm 54 verses 4 to 7. It says, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble. That's the God we serve. He doesn't do some part and leave some part undone. He does a complete work. He delivers us from all trouble, and our eyes have seen his desire upon our enemies. That's the testimony of David. Psalm 94, verses 14 to 17. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment will return to the righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. That means he will have been consumed. He will have been dead. That's the testimony that is being given there of the Lord. That the Lord is our help. And so our soul will not be consumed. It doesn't matter what the declaration of Wednesday is. You know, God keeps his own people. Isaac was going to go into Egypt. And he was a wise guy because his father had told him that when the famine occurred, he went down to Egypt. And the Lord was with him there and helped him. And Isaac, another famine arose. And Isaac was going to go to Gerar where his father had been. It's only wisdom, you know. It's just like you hearing about the Great Depression and how people survived it. And you say, well, if a depression is coming again, let me follow that way. But God said, Isaac, stay in this land. I allowed your father to go to Egypt, but you stay in this land. And the Bible said that in that self-same time of famine, Isaac sowed in the land. God, who gives the increase, gave him 100% increase in the time of famine. And the people of the land began to envy him. Why? Because God is his help. So our welfare is not as a result of our geographical location. It's the presence of God with us. He could have gone to Egypt and missed it because God didn't want him in Egypt. And maybe you are thinking in your heart, because I hear a lot of things in my place of work. People are scheming how they're going to travel out into some other nations. People who have studied taking loans, and they say, well, you know, is it 30 years now or is 40 years of repayment? And if you can't repay after then it's written off. They say, oh, well, you can go abroad, stay some 40 years there, and then come back when it has been wiped off. You know, men were scheming. But who has guaranteed where you want to go to? If the Lord is not there, who said that you would last 40 years there? Who said that it's going to be easy there? Is there an easy path in this world? I don't think so. I don't think so. The miners that went to work in Chile, they didn't bargain for 2 months under the ground. But thank God for his deliverance. Things happen. Locks changes and a lot of things happen that is beyond our control. Psalm 124, verses 1 to 8. It says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The streams would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters will have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us up as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. That is where our help is. The Lord of heaven and earth is the one who made the heaven and the earth. That is where our help is. And Psalm 146. Psalm 146, verses 1 to 10. I'll quickly read. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I'll praise the Lord. I'll sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. It's obvious that there is no help in any man, except God uses a man. God is going to use a man to help us, because he won't come down physically to help us. But to put our trust in another man is just useless, because if you can't help yourself, how can another man like you help you? You see? That is why we can't trust. I mean, some people believe that it's one government or the other that is going to change the luck of this and that. They are but men. Except God gives them the wisdom, the grace, the enablement, the breakthrough. We have too much expectations in man. A man cannot control factors of this life. They can't. But God can. And says, he says, do not put your trust in princes. That's in people in rulership. But we're going to respect them. God even asks us to pray for them so that the decisions they take, which are binding on us, will not drive us away from God, but will help us to live a life that is peaceable and acceptable unto God. We need to pray for them because they need the wisdom of God. Otherwise, they are but ordinary men. They will begin to make decisions that might not be rational. But then it depends on the perspective from which they are considering things. He said, do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. And in that very day, his plans perish. That's man. He says, don't worry. When we get to power, or he says, oh, tomorrow, I'm going to see you and I'm going to give you this. I'm going to enrich you with this. That's tomorrow. And who owns tomorrow? It's God. It's not any man. What we have is this very moment that we are talking about. The next 5 minutes is a hope and an expectation and aspiration that I have, but no, there's no guarantees. Except God keeps us. We cannot keep ourselves. He says, happy is he who has God of Jacob as his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth. See, God made heaven and earth, made everything. And when you have that God as your help, then you can just relax in him because he will come through for you. It says, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He leaves the fatherless. He relieves the fatherless and the widows. But the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. That's our God. He has no beginning, he has no end. He reigns forever. It doesn't matter which government is there, whether it's the Labour or Conservative or Coalition or Liberal Democrats. He reigns through everything. Green Party or Brown Party, it doesn't matter. God reigns forever. That's the Lord who is our help. That's the Lord who is our help. Now, if God is our help, who is God? God is the one with whom nothing is impossible. Mark chapter 10, verse 27 says that. It said, with me all things are possible. He's the one who is able to do exceedingly above all that we can ask or think or imagine. And that, I mean, like our pastor has once says, that is mind-blowing. Because you can imagine the things you can think of the things you can imagine. And yet God is able to do far exceedingly above that. Why? Because even the things you can imagine, it's God that enables you to imagine them. So you cannot imagine outside the expanse of his creation. And he's able to do all that. That's the God who is our help. He's the one who stopped the sun for Joshua so that he can win the battle he wanted him to win. And scientists have proven that that day was missing in the calendar of the world. That's the God that we serve. He's the God who used the lunch of a little lad to feed 5,000 people. He's the Lord who raised the dead to life. He's the Lord who healed the sick. The woman with the issue of blood. The man who has been bent over for 38 years. He healed them. That's the Lord who is your helper. The interesting thing and the link between that and us now is Hebrews 13 verse 8. It says, God is the same yesterday and today and forever. That's why those references are important to us. That if God has done it before, he can do it now and again and forever. And that's why we need to hold fast unto this God. He's the all-sufficient God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5 tells about that. And Numbers 23 verse 19 tells us that God is not man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of a man that should repent of his word. Has he spoken a thing and shall he not do it? He will keep his promise. How do we enlist or utilize this help that is available to us? One, we need to be identified with him. David said, God is my help. We need to be identified. We need to belong to the flock of the Lord before he can be a shepherd over us. When you are a sheep in the flock of a shepherd, it is not the responsibility of the sheep to look after itself. Actually, sheep don't have the ability to look after themselves. I was reading the word for today on Saturday. For those who use it, you would know what I'm talking about. And I'd like to read to us about it, about sheep. The title of Saturday was The Lord is My Shepherd. Abraham Lincoln wrote, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I have nowhere else to go. My wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day. All of us feel the same way at times. That's because we are all sheep in need of a shepherd. Of all God's creatures, sheep seem the least able to care for themselves. They are directionless. They walk off a cliff or wander into a river and drown. They are defenseless. They have no claws, so they can't fight, run fast, or climb a tree to safety. They are dirty. Your cat and dog can clean themselves, but sheep get dirty and stay that way. You say, I don't like being compared to sheep. All right. Then answer this question. How well do you control your impulses? Do you ever play the victim? Can you relate to you mentioned Dr. Kylie and Mr. Hyde. I don't know them. Are you always upbeat and upright? Do you add to the conflict and confusion? Or do you always make peace? Do you truly love people or do you just use them for your own ends? Are you generous? Or do you mostly give to those who have something to give back to you? On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you score when it comes to the fear of people or failure or sickness or death or rejection or risks? Is your life an open book? How often do you fail and need forgiveness? Weekly, daily, hourly? It sounds like you need a shepherd. So instead of saying, the Lord is my shepherd, try saying, because I need a shepherd, I make you Lord of my life. That was so nicely put. We need to identify with the Lord so that he can be the shepherd of our lives. David said in Psalm 23 verse 1, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's because the Lord is his shepherd, that's why he will not want. It's not because of anything, it's because the Lord is the provider. That's why he will not want. Can you say the Lord is your shepherd? If the Lord is not your shepherd, you may want. You need to make the Lord your shepherd. Number two is we need to call upon the Lord. Psalm 50 verse 15. It says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will answer you. You see, this call is like, we've been ill and we go to see the doctors. And the doctors will still ask you to give a consent for treatment. We say God knows everything. Yes, he knows. But he still needs our consent to intervene in our lives. Because he has given us a will. And with our will, we can choose just like people choose. I work in the NHS, and I know that people can turn down consent even when they are at the point of receiving the delivery, and you can't do anything against it. It's their will. Though it is to help them. You have to respect their will, especially if they're in a sound mind. And so God is saying, call upon me. Because he said we should ask and we shall find. We should seek and we shall find. He said we should ask, it shall be given to us. We should knock at the door of mercy, it shall be opened unto us. He knows he has made the provision, but he's telling us we should call upon him. He's a very present help, but there are times we need to call upon him. You know, oftentimes we describe our problems to people all around, and we don't take it to God. And God is watching. What is he going to do? Like he was watching the three Hebrew children. What are they going to do? He was waiting for them. He was there with them. They didn't know. Because if they had known, if they could see the Lord there, they would have said, well, oh king, you don't know what you are talking about. You can't just cast us. Yeah? You will see. No, they didn't know. But he that was there was there. God is always there. But he says, call upon me. Let's call upon the Lord. The third thing we need to do is to study to show ourselves approved of God. We need to know the word. We need to know what God is, who God is, and what God can do. Because, like 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show yourself approved of God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, who rightly divides the word of truth. We need to understand what the word of God says. Not just speak the word out of context. Not just speak the word and say, well, the Bible says I can do all things. But what is the thing you want to do? If it is contrary to what God wants done, then you can't do it. It won't strengthen you to do that. And if you do it, then you face the consequence. We need to know the word of God. Jesus himself had the word of God, and it was the word of God that he used to overcome the devil. It's still the same principle today, brethren. There is no modernization that comes to the world that we erase that truth. Because the world that we live in, though physical it is controlled by spiritual powers. The forces that are not seen. The Bible tells us in Ephesians, it said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting out of thoughts and imaginations that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. The Bible recognizes that there is a war that goes on between the flesh and the spirit. And we are the ones who are the battleground. When we're also the ones that choose who wins. So we need to know the Lord who is our help. We need to know how he has helped in other times. And that if he has done it before, he will do it again and again. The Bible says there is no new thing under the heavens. No new thing. No new imaginations, no new thoughts. It's amazing to realize that everything goes in circles. History repeats itself, even though to different people at different times. And so we need to know God. We need to know our God so that we can do great exploits. And finally, we need to walk by faith and not by sight. Remember the preacher that came last week before? Pastor Chaudhry, isn't it? Was telling us about the experiences of faith. We need to believe that God does not only, it's not just that God can do, but God will do. Because it's not difficult for us to believe that God can. But will God do in my situation? God will do that brings the expectations of looking forward to God to do things. Because we can believe God can because we have heard that God can. But will he do it in my situation? We need to get to that place where we know that God will do. That's the work of faith. We're not denying what we can see. We're not denying what we can hear. But we are acknowledging the one who has promised to be our help. Shall we go to the Lord in prayer? The Lord says, He is our help. He is our helper. God is for us, brethren. But like I said, we need to identify with Him. Are you a sheep in the flock of the Lord? Does the Lord know you as a sheep in His sheepfold? That's the most important question that we need to answer this morning. Because as for God, His ways are perfect. He has set Himself. He has declared His stand. I will help my people. I will jealously guard my people. He says even when these situations are strange and things are happening that beat our imaginations. That's what the scriptures say when He says even the mountains be moved and cast into the sea. That looks at like an unimaginable thing. And God is saying, I am with you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. But do you belong to Him? It's not a chorus thing, it's a personal thing. You must know God in a personal way. And I just want to give you that opportunity this morning. Is there anybody in this place who wants to say, Lord, I want to be your sheep. I want you to be shepherd over my life. The storms of life are raging. Lord, I need someone who can calm my passage through. The storms will blow. They blow on all mankind. There's no segregation in that. But who you have in your boat is very important. If you have the one who can calm the storms of life, then you are in the right place. You are in the place of safety. The one who is a sure refuge, a very present help in a time of need. That's the one I'm inviting you to come and be under His shepherdhood. Is there anybody who wants to do that this morning? Just raise your hand where you are seated and we'll briefly pray with you. And then you will begin a relationship with the shepherd. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. It begins there. Then everything that He has promised, you can claim as His child. Is there anybody there this morning before I close this meeting? God bless you. I just want you to where you are seated, I just want you to say this prayer in your heart. Lord Jesus, I've heard your word, and your word says that if I come to you, you will not cast me away, but that you will take me, O God. Father, I acknowledge my transgressions before you, my sins and my iniquities. Lord, you know. I confess unto them, and I receive you into my life as my personal Savior and Lord. Please, Lord, take me into your sheepfold and be the shepherd of my soul from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm just going to pray for you now. Father, I want to thank you for this lovely couple that are raising up their hands unto you, or that have raised up their hands unto you. Father, you know them. You are the one who is calling them unto yourself. Lord, I pray that you will bestow upon them today the power of sonship. Amen. And that, Lord, they will begin to know your shepherdhood over their lives. Amen. Lord, that you begin to lead them into green pastures. Amen. And restore their soul. Thank you, faithful Lord. We give you praise and glory. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. We commit them into your hand that you would nurture them in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to thank you for this morning. We want to bless your name for this opportunity to look into your word. We want to give you praise and glory, O Lord, because you love us and you've sent your word to us to remind us that you are our helper. Oh, how much we need you in these days, O God. And we just ask, O Jehovah God, that your grace upon our lives will continue, O God, to keep us, O God, on the straight and the narrow. And that you will continue to be, O God, the shepherd of our soul. We give you full control that wherever you may lead, we will follow you, O God. Thank you because you are faithful. We give you the praise and the glory. And Father, as we go into this week, we commit our ways into your hand. The Lord Jehovah God, you will have your way in our lives. You will be glorified in our lives. The world will see your good works in our lives and they will be drawn unto you, our Father. We give you praise and glory because you are Lord. No matter what may be said on Wednesday, O God, we ask, O Jehovah God, that, Lord, you continue to keep us under your mighty hands. And you continue to be, O God, our all in all. We give you the praise and glory for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.